Blog Talk Radio.
Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And our motto comes from James 5:16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of us, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
Amen. Praise God. Well, our devotional, devotional message for this evening is entitled, Trust Me. Praise be to God. Scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 40, verse 4, and it says, Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 56, verses 3 through 4, and it says, When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Amen. To God be the glory. My third scripture reading is coming from Psalm 62, verse 8, where it says, Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Praise be to God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 through 4. And it says, You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is a rock eternal. The word of God is already blessed. Amen. Again, the title, it says, Trust me with every fiber of your being. What can I accomplish in and through you is proportional. How much you depend on me. One aspect of this is the degree to which you trust me in a crisis or major decision. Some people fail miserably here, while others are at their best in tough times. Another aspect is even more telling, the constancy of your trust in me. Excuse me. People who rely on me in the midst of adversity may forget about me when life is flowing smoothly. Difficult times can jolt you into awareness of your need for me, whereas smooth sailing can lure you into the stupor of self-sufficiency. I care as much about your tiny trust steps through daily life as about your dramatic leap of faith. You may think that no one noticed, but the one who is always beside you sees everything and rejoices. Consistently trusting in me is vital to flourishing in my presence. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing unto you as it is to me. Amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, you can dial 319-527-6204.
and give us your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. Amen? Praise be to God. Again, you can also call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory.
Everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song.
Belongs to you.
belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it, y'all.
Belongs to you.
Come on, y'all got it. Come on, say my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Lord, my hallelujah. Yeah. Then we simply say, you deserve it. Real simple, say it, church. From the bottom. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah.
All of the glory belongs.
Everybody, lift your hands right here and say, yeah. Everybody, come on and come to the table. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, free us from anger and bitterness. When we are angry, we cannot feel the peace that you intended for our life. When we are bitter, we cannot sense your presence. Keep us mindful that forgiveness is your commandment. And let us turn away from bitterness and instead claim the spiritual abundance that you offer through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And now at this time, I will play another selection, What Jesus Would Do.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you.
to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Dear Lord, let your priorities be our priorities. Let your will be our will. Let your word be our guide. And let us grow in faith and in wisdom this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. It is now time for our, praise God, for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled, Lion, Lamb, Savior. And that's the title. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Amen? Where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll. And it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seal on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represents the sevenfold spirit of the God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. To God be the glory. Praise his holy name. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And it says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." Praise be to God. The writer says, two stately stone lions watched over the entrance to the New York Public Library. Heed from marvels, they have stood there proudly since the library's dedication in 1911. They were first nicknamed Leo Lennox,
and Leo Astor to honor the library's founders. But during the Great Depression, New York's mayor, Ferrio LaGuardia, renamed them Fortitude and Patience, virtues he thought New Yorkers should demonstrate in those challenging years. The Lions are still called Fortitude and Patience today. The Bible describes a living, powerful lion who also gives encouragement in trouble and is known by other names. In his vision of heaven, the Apostle John wept when he saw that no one was able to open the seal scroll containing God's plan of judgment and redemption. Then John was told, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals," Revelation 5 and 5. Yet in the very next verse, John describes something else entirely. "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne," in verse 6. The lion and the lamb are the same person, Jesus. He's the conquering king and the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, John 1 and 29. Through his strength and his cross, we receive mercy and forgiveness so that we may live in joy and wonder at all he is forever. Amen. Praise God. Question. What's your favorite name for Jesus? What aspect of his character make you want to praise him most? Think about those questions. Amen. Let us pray. Beautiful Savior, we could praise you for all eternity and never come to the end of all that you are. Thank you for giving yourself to us, for us, so that we may live in your love forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Praise God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Woo! You thought I was worthy. Heavenly Father, you have given me a community of supporters called the church. Let our fellowship be a reflection of the love we feel for each other and the love
we feel for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, and I will play another selection while we're waiting. To God be the glory.
Yes, to God be the glory. So now that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. So, dear Lord, we have fallen short of your commandments, and you have forgiven us. You have blessed us with your love and your mercy. Enable us to be merciful towards others. Father, just as you have been merciful to us, let us show and share your love with all whom we come together with this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So at this time, our very own Lady Nadine is going to come with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And I also want to welcome my co-host, Barbara Amore, with a hand clap praise also. Praise God. It's in your hands, Lady Nadine.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Welcome everyone to Talk Through the Bible. As we go through each book of the Bible, we're on Zephaniah. So let us pray. Dear God, we love you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Lord God, Lord God, you are so good to us, Lord God, and we know, Lord God, we don't deserve your goodness, we don't deserve your grace, and we don't deserve what you have given us, Lord God. So we can't help but humble ourselves to you, Lord God, because in spite of ourselves, Lord God, you still loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Lord God, that is our salvation, Lord God. That those who believe in him will be with you, Lord, eternally in glory and in heaven. So, Lord God, we just thank you. And we thank you, Lord God, for that you're with us now. You know, Lord God, yes, we have eternal life, but Lord God, while we're here on this earth, Lord God, you are right by us, Lord God, guiding us, protecting us, Lord God. Because, Lord God, we know that this world is run by the devil. It's run by demons, Lord God. But, Lord God, when we call on you, all flee, Lord God. As long as we keep our trust in you and keep our eyes on Jesus, Lord God, we will be able to work our way through this world, which we are a part of, Lord God. And we are to be examples to those, Lord God, who are in the world, Lord God. We ought to be examples so that they know that there is something better for them if they come to know and trust in you, Lord God, because no one knows the day or the time, but we know that it's imminent. We know that Jesus coming is imminent, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, and we praise you, Lord God, for what is about to happen, Lord God. We thank and praise you for that, Lord God. And Lord God, we offer you, we welcome you into this lesson on Zephaniah, Lord God. And I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds, Lord God, so that we'll be able to absorb what it is that you want us to know, Lord God. And not only absorb it, Lord God, but apply it to our everyday lives. So I thank you, Lord God, for everyone who's on this line, Lord God. I want to ask for a special blessing for each and every one of them. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, we're up to the survey of Zephaniah. And so we'll begin. And we'll do some, a little bit of review on Zephaniah. If anybody can tell me who is Zephaniah? That's an easy question. Who's Zephaniah?
Isn't he a prophet?
I don't want you to ask that question. I want you to tell me who is Zephaniah. Who is he?
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet. Exactly. He's one of God's prophets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember when he prophesied? Was it with a... Did he prophesy to a good king or a bad king?
A good king.
Right. Do you remember the name of the king?
Oh my goodness.
King Josiah.
Thank you.
Josiah, exactly. Josiah is the time that he prophesied. The king Josiah. So at this point now, you know, the people of Israel are, you know, they still have, you know, they still have their stuff going on, but now they're being led by a king who loved God. So we're going to survey of Zephaniah. So on the whole, Zephaniah is a fierce and grim book of warning about the coming day of the Lord. There's warnings about desolation, darkness, and ruin will take strike, will strike Judah and the nations and all of the other nations around Judah because of the wrath of God upon sin. Zephaniah looks beyond judgment, however, to a time of joy when God will cleanse the nations and restore the fortunes of his people Israel. Mm. So you have two forces that's going on in the book of Zephaniah. You have one, the desolation and destruction, but then you see you have the redemption, you know, God's redemption of the people of Israel. So the book begins with God's declaration. And God says, I will utterly consume all things from the face of this land. And we saw that in Zephaniah 1 and 2. But it ends with this promise. At that time, I will bring you back and return your captives before your eyes. So we have our loving, kind God who is just. You know, God doesn't love sin, and we will pay for it. You know, but at the same time, he loves us so much. You know, it's not, you know, some people, you do something to them, and they don't ever want to talk to you ever again in life. Like, you can never, they will never forgive you. You know, it's like, oh, no. They'll just never, ever, ever forgive you for something that you've done. But thank God, thanks be to God that God is, we don't serve a God like that. Could you imagine if we served a God like that? Who?
Mm-mm.
Write us off for eternity? Because of what we did, oh, you did that, I'm sorry, it's over for you. It's over. But we don't serve a God like that, you know, and... you know, unfortunately, you know, people who don't know God, you know, sometimes they feel like when they, you know, when they've been saved, you know, they went and they got saved, and then say they backslide with something that we all can do and do, they backslide, and then they feel like they can't come back to God.
Right.
Have you ever known somebody that's did that and they felt like they just you know, went down into the gutter and that they would never be able to go back to God?
No, I haven't.
Everybody I know went down, came back. God, please forgive me.
Everybody you know went down and came back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes I just know I've heard people say, "Oh no, I gotta clean myself up before I go back. I can't go back to church. I gotta clean myself up first." You ever heard people say they gotta clean themselves up first?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing. It's like they feel like they done so, you know. But what would you say to somebody who says, "I gotta clean myself back up first before I go back to God"?
Well, I have heard someone say that, not that they had fallen down so low that they had to clean themselves up, but they always said something like they weren't ready. They always had an excuse. I don't have the right for this, or so-and-so is just being cheated. We have for church, you know, mm-hmm. different things, which ultimately meant we want to come. And I continue to ask or to invite this person, God rest her soul, continue to mm-hmm. ask her to come. I mean, she lived like around the corner from the church. So that's not mm-hmm. a hard thing to take off there. But mm-hmm. she always, the coat, the dress, the this, the that. So, you know, I figured she doesn't really want to come, you know. She just doesn't really want to come.
Well, I know the church that I go to now, Convent Avenue Baptist Church, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, oh, no, that church is too sadiddy for me to go to. Or they feel like they didn't have the right clothes to wear. Because, you know, Convent is, you know, known for, you know, the big hats, the mink coats, and so mm-hmm. forth. So, and a lot of the ways that people felt wasn't actually not true, you know, because mm-hmm. you walk into some churches and if you're not dressed a certain way, people do look, give you those looks, you know, those dirty looks. And mm-hmm. It can really, 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 of course, stop somebody from wanting to come because they don't feel like they got, you know, their clothes are good enough to go. You know,
exactly.
To the church. And sometimes you can say to them, "Honey, you're going there to serve the Lord. You don't worry about what other people." But that's easy to say when you are,
that's right.
You know, when you're solidly mm-hmm. in Christ. It's easy to say for you, because I know I felt that way when I went to that church. But I was like, I ain't here for these people. I was not there for these people. Okay.
First time I stepped into Convent Avenue Church and I saw all those people dressed in their fancy clothes and big hats and stuff, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. But then I said to myself, you know what? You're not here to watch them. You're not here to observe what they're doing. You're here to hear the word of God. And that's how I got through
Amen.
It. You know,
Amen.
Any
Amen.
Church that
Amen.
I go to, and if I feel uncomfortable in that church, then I'll
mm-hmm.
just remind myself I'm here for God, not for them.
Exactly. And I mean, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I had people just like, "Oh no, you can't sit there. I've been sitting here for 40 years. That's my seat." Those are the type of things that will make people walk out of church and not want to come back, you
yeah.
know. And,
yeah,
you know, unless you have a pastor that speaks all that stuff. And that's what happened when Pastor Williams came. He addressed it, all of that, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he started something at Convent that we hadn't done before,
mm-hmm.
where he would have everybody get up. That's before COVID, you know, walk around, get up, greet each other, talk to each other, give somebody a hug.
Yes.
You know, because it used to be a very cold and stiff church,
mm.
you know, but he came and he, you know, changed that atmosphere. At least the atmosphere changed. And he talks about it every time. You know, how dare you look down on somebody because they're not dressed up? It's okay for you you can wear whatever you, I don't care about you, how you're dressed. Mm-hmm. What I care about is your heart, you know.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be like, you know, have an attitude with people, you know, because of how they look, then that is not what God wants from us.
Nope.
So anyway, let me go on. But I think, too, like, you know, when you say to somebody, and this is what makes it hard. I mean, this is the point I'm making. This is kind of what makes it hard for us as Christians, because if you, like the lady you said, like if you say to somebody, you know, no, you know, you need Christ to get yourself together. You can't do it without him. So that's the bottom line. You can't get mm-hmm. yourself together. Only Christ can get you together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, and you invite them to church, and then they get to church, and they get, because, you know, the devil will do every, devil is in church, okay?
Yes, he would.
And he would do, that's who he looks for. You know, he looks for people who are coming in new so that he can distract them or have some,
yeah.
you know, do something like, talk about, that's my feet. Don't be sitting in there, that's my feet, you know. Or somebody giving somebody a dirty look for what they have on, and they really need to be guided by you to try to make them feel comfortable and remind them of why they're here.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And if I could just add something, the ones that are giving the dirty looks, their heart is not right.
Thank you.
No.
No, you don't look.
Absolutely not.
Because, first of all, if it's their first time there, they don't know how people are dressing, and maybe that's all they have. I mean,
right,
I remember
exactly.
one, and this young lady, she might have been 18, I don't know how old, but she had on a mini skirt, and when she sat down, the skirt came up halfway her thigh. And
mm-hmm.
I said something to her. You know, about her mother was sitting right beside her. I don't think I knew that was her mother. It didn't really matter. But as mm-hmm. I got to know, I said, oh, goodness, you know, it was all right with the mother. But I believe I said something to her, but don't quite know what it was, but it was something in effect about that short of the dress. Why you got to sit here with half
mm-hmm.
your side say, you know?
Yeah.
And unless you think it's all right, but it's not. They tell you you can't sit on the front row as a female without having a lap nap, your legs, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So dress up to your knee and you sit on the front, it distracts the preacher. Well, you know that. Stop.
I know, because whenever I'm on the pulpit, yeah, we have the scarf over our legs. But the thing is that I feel like if people – go ahead, finish.
No, go on. You've got something more important to say than what I'm saying, so go on.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish your statement.
I just say that when you are no better, you will come with a scarf to sit, and if you got to sit on the front pew – to cover your legs, because I can understand some men are weak. Some women are weak, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
your legs, whatever, they're going to lose their mind. You know, so
mm-hmm.
you cover your leg, or wear a dress that's long enough that it covers like half of your leg, not your thigh, half of your leg,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not attracting those who are trying to bring the message. So I just looked at it like, well, they must be my... because they, you know, the legs, but out of respect, you try. And I know one time I had on a dress that was short. I mean, it came up above my knees. And when I sat down, it disturbed the woman near me. Oh, can I give you my scarf? No, I have my own scarf. You know, can I show you? No. Thanks.
Oh, wow.
Give me a moment, I will cover my legs. At this moment, you know, what's your rush? This problem.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like, and I hear you, but I know that with young people, you know, it's probably what her normal dress code was, is what she wore. She didn't see anything wrong with it. And I guess the mother didn't see anything wrong with it either, you know. But she would be somebody that I would wait, you know, to talk to. Like maybe pull over to the side and quietly say something about it to her, you know, and say it, you know, in love.
Two of them. It's not like I did it, you know, two people. And I said it to the young girl who didn't seem to know any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just, you're right. I mean, I just feel like we have to be just really careful with our approach when we are given, because, you know, how we approach the situation determines whether the person will come back or not. That's
basically
it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, okay. So, the book begins with God's declaration. Oh, I read that. At that time, I will bring you back. Okay. And that was 3:20. Now, Zephaniah moves three times from the general to specific. So, Hilda, could you get chapter 1, verses 1 through 3? Sister Barbara, can you get chapter 1, verses 4 to chapter 2, verse 3? And I'll tell you when to read it.
Okay.
So, from the universal judgment, he goes from universal judgment to the judgment upon Judah. So the universal judgment and then to the judgment upon Judah. And, okay, so, and Hilda, read 1 through 3. This is the universal judgment. And then, Barbara, you're reading the judgment upon Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1:1-3 says, the Lord gave this message to Zephaniah when Josiah, son of Amon, was king of Judah. Zephaniah was the son of Cushi, son of Jediah. Thank you. Son of Amariah. Son
Amariah.
Amariah. Thank you. Son of Hezekiah. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will sweep away people and animals alike. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea. I will reduce the wicked to heaps of rubble, and I will wipe humanity from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So that's his universal judgment. And now, his judgment upon Judah.
He said 4 through 2?
Chapter 1, verse 4 to chapter 2, verse 3.
Okay. Is my audio okay? I have the Bluetooth on, and if it's
perfect.
Okay. It's okay? Okay. Thank you. I'll start with Judah and everyone who lives in Jerusalem. I'll sweep the place clean of every trace of the sex and religion, Baal shrines, and their priests. I'll get rid of the people who sneak up to their rooftops at night to worship the star gods and goddesses. Also, those who continue to worship God but cover their bases by worshiping other king gods as well, not to mention those who dump God altogether, no longer giving him a thought or offering a prayer. Quiet now. Reverent silence before me, God, the Master. Time's up. My judgment day is near. The holy day is all set. The invited guests made holy. On the holy day, God's judgment day, I will punish the leaders and the royal sons. I will punish those who dress up like foreign priests and priestesses, who introduce pagan prayers and practices, and I'll punish all who import pagan superstitions that turn holy places into hellholes. Judgment Day, God's decree. Cries of panic from the city's fish gate. Cries of terror from the city's second quarter. Sounds of great crashing from the hills. My volume is still okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you shopkeepers on Market Street, money making has had its day. The God money is dead. On Judgment Day, I'll search through every closet and alley in Jerusalem. I'll find and punish those who are sitting it out, fat and lazy, amusing themselves and taking it easy. Who think God doesn't do anything good or bad. He isn't involved, so neither are we. But just wait. They'll lose everything they have, money and house and land. They'll build a house and never move in. They'll plant vineyards and never taste the wine. And this is broken down into another topic, a day of darkness at noon. The great judgment day of God is almost here. It's countdown time. 7, 6, 5, 4. Bitter and noisy cries on my judgment day. Even strong men screaming for help. Judgment day is payday. My anger paid out. A day of distress and anguish, a day of catastrophic doom, a day of darkness at noon, a day of black storm clouds, a day of blood-curdling war cries as forts are assaulted, as defenses are smashed. I'll make things so bad they won't know what hit them. They'll walk around groping like the blind. They've sinned against God. Their blood will be poured out like old dishwater. Their guts shoveled into slop buckets. Don't plan on buying your way out. Your money is worthless for this. This is the day of God's judgment, my wrath. I care about sin with fiery passion, a fire to burn up the corrupted world, a wildfire finished to the corrupting people. Verse 2, chapter 2, rather, seek God. 2 to what?
2 to 3.
Seek God. So get yourselves together. Shape up. You're a nation without a clue about what it wants. Do it before you're blown away like leaves in a windstorm. Before God's judgment anger swoops down on you. Before God's judgment day wrath descends with full force. Seek God, all you quietly disciplined people who live by God's justice. Seek God's right ways. Seek a quiet and disciplined life. Perhaps you'll be hidden on the day of God's anger. That's for the word of the Lord. And his word is already blessed. Wow.
Amen. Yeah. And you know what? I think I'm going to just give a homework assignment right now because there's a lot to read. I was going to try to do it now, but it's a lot to read. So can everybody just please read 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23? Okay. 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. Okay?
Chapter 22
to 23. Right, and there's basically those chapters relate to King Josiah and what was actually happening, you know, as Zephaniah was reigning. Okay, so just some background stuff for us to be aware of.
So then
we go from judgment upon the surrounding nations, which to judgment upon Jerusalem. And from judgment and cleaning of all nations to the restoration of Israel. So these are all the phases that is three parts to the Zephaniah. The first one is universal judgment to the judgment upon Judah, which we just read. The second thing is from the judgment upon the surrounding nations. And the judgment upon the surrounding nations is chapter 2, the rest of it, from 4 to 15, to the judgment upon Jerusalem, which is chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And then from the judgment and cleansing of all the nations, and we see that in 3, 8 through 10, and the restoration of Israel, which is 3, 11 through 20. So that's basically the chapters that, you know, we read of Zephaniah and how it was broken down. So the two broad divisions of the book are, one, the judgment in the day of the Lord, and the other one is the salvation in the day of the Lord. And that's how the book is broken down. It's from chapter 1, 3 to chapter 8, and the salvation is chapter, you know, to 3 to 8, and then it's chapter 3, 9 through 20. That's the whole book. So first is the judgment of the judgment in the day of the Lord, right? And the salvation in the day of the Lord. And that is what we're waiting for. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait.
Right.
Wait for what?
The second coming of Jesus Christ. And Zephaniah is definitely broken up that way. You know, what I said, the two broad divisions of the book is, one, the judgment in the day of the Lord. So how does that relate to now? The judgment in the day of the Lord. What is that?
The coming of Christ.
Right. And what is he going to do when he comes?
He's going to take
his people. He's going to reign when he comes back. He's
right.
Going to reign
and
on
all those. So he's got two things to do. Christ is going to do these same two things. He's going to judge the world when he comes the second time, and the salvation. So the way that it's supposed, there'll be a judgment in the day of the Lord, and then there will be salvation in the day of the Lord, right? So both of these things are going to happen almost simultaneously.
But I want to just get clarity on the salvation, because I thought as a Christian and you get baptized and believe and all of those that go with it, that you receive salvation because you do all those things.
That's right. But what is salvation? No. Huh? I'm just saying, when you think of salvation, what is the act of salvation? Yes, we are saved. But what does that look like? What is salvation? What does it actually mean?
Right. That you're saved, have eternal life.
Right. So when he comes back, that is our salvation day, because he's taking us with him, those who have saved.
But wait a minute, he's supposed to be reigning down here too when he comes back.
Yeah, well, he's reigning. He's going to reign down here, right, for 2,000 years. But those who are in Christ, will rise when he comes back, right? Let's go back to the scripture. He's going to reign, but he's going to judge and reign.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let's go to. Hold on.
That was our Sunday lesson too, not too long ago, about him reigning. So I know we say that he's going to come back and the dead will rise first and those that are caught up, you know, will be
right.
up in the air for that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is he going to reign on earth for 1,000 years or what?
His reign on the thousand, his reign here is, let me see, we had broke that down before in Revelation. When he reigns here for 1,000 years, we ain't gonna be down here. That's why we going up.
We hope.
That's why we will rise.
When he's coming back, so we can't say that either.
We can't say what. We can't say that we're gonna rise. The dead will rise.
No, I didn't say that. No, you said he's going to reign for 1,000 years and we won't be here. I said, we don't know when he's coming back, so we can't say that. We don't know when he's coming back.
No. No, nobody knows when, but we know there will be
That's
a second coming.
And we don't know when he's coming back. So
right.
We might
second
be
coming.
Oh.
We might
you
be what? Satan.
Yeah, we need
so what we learned in Lesson, what we learned in Revelation 20 is that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years.
Right.
Jesus himself, the angels will subdue Satan. The angel that will subdue Satan is anonymous. It is not Jesus himself, nor is it Michael or Gabriel. The dramatic declaration shows that Satan is not God's equal. With, you know, let's go to Revelation 20, and we can read that. I mean, we know that the devil, Revelation chapter 20, which is the final elimination of Satan, sin, and death.
Revelation 20. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so starting from the 1,000 years, this is about the 1,000 years. So you have the Message Bible?
Yes.
Okay, just start
reading. You want to hear that? Okay. The topic is 1,000 years. I'm sorry, it's that on its last legs. I have another one, but I just gravitate to this. A thousand is taped and stuff, all that. I saw an angel descending out of heaven. He carried the key to the abyss and a chain, a huge. He grabbed the dragon, that old snake, the very devil, Satan himself, chained him up for 1,000 years, dumped him into the abyss, slammed it shut and sealed it tight. No more trouble out of him, deceiving the nations, until the 1,000 years are up. After that, he has to be let loose briefly. I saw thrones, those put in charge of judgment set on the throne. I also saw the souls of those beheaded because of their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who refused to worship either the beast or his image, refused to take his mark on forehead or hand. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. This is the first resurrection. Let me read that again. The rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. So what does that mean? They stayed dead?
Yes, that's what I believe. But hold on, I'll tell you exactly what it means.
Okay. The rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. That's what it sounds
verse
like.
Six?
Sounds obvious. Yes.
Yeah.
You want me to read until you find it? No?
Yes, go ahead. Read until I find it.
Okay, the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. This is the first resurrection, and those involved most blessed, most holy. Second death for them. They're priests of God and Christ. Their reign with mm-hmm. him of the years.
Right, so the rest of the dead are those who do not have a part in the first resurrection. They were not blessed. They are under the power of the second death, and they are without privileges. So these are the people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. John 5:28-29 says that Jesus describes the two resurrections. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So those are those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The two events are separate. So that first calling is us, I'm going to say. This is making Lou up. Go ahead, continue.
Okay, thank you. When the 1,000 years are up, Satan will be let loose from his cell and will launch again his old work of deceiving the nations, searching out victims in every nook and cranny of earth, even Gog and Magog. He'll talk them into going to war and will gather a huge army, millions strong. They'll stream across the earth, surround it, and lay siege to the camp of God's holy people, the beloved city. They'll no longer get there than fire will pour out of heaven and burn them up. Then fire will pour out of heaven and burn them up. The devil who deceived them will be hurled into the lake, fire, and brimstone, joining the beast and false prophet, the three in torment around the clock for ages without end. And the final paragraph is talking about judgment. I saw a great white throne and one enthroned. Nothing could stand before or against the presence, nothing in heaven, nothing on earth. And then I saw all the dead, great and small, standing there before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. Sea released its dead. Death and hell turned in their dead. Each man and woman was judged by the way he or she had lived. Then death and hell were hurled into the lake fire. This is the second death, lake fire. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into lake fire. Thus far the reading of the word.
Yep.
Wow. So Jesus is going to come back and reign for another 1,000 years. Again, as we studied yesterday in basic theology, a 1,000 years can be as a day, and a day can be as a 1,000 years. So we don't know how long that is. But they call it a 1,000. Right?
Right.
But whatever Satan is confined in his cell to do no harm to people for that period of time. Ooh, glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I tell you. Okay, so Zephaniah's book is broken up into those two areas, the day, the judgment in the day of the Lord, and the salvation in the day of the Lord, those who are where God comes back and saves them. from the judgment. So the judgment in the day of the Lord, which is in, it goes from verse chapter 1 to chapter 8. The prophetic oracle begins with an awesome statement of God's coming judgment upon the entire earth because of its sins, because of the sins of men. Zephaniah then concentrates on the judgment of Judah alone, listing some of the offenses that will cause it to come. Judah is polluted with idolatrous priests who promote and worship the worship of Baal and nature, and her officials and princes are completely corrupt. Therefore, the day of the Lord is imminent, and it will be characterized by terror, desolation, and distress. However, by his grace, Yahweh appeals to his people to repent and humble themselves to avert the coming disaster before it's too late. And so one of the reasons why, and I think we had this discussion before, Sister Barbara, but one of the reasons why I want you to read Josiah, because, you know, just to give you some background of Josiah, remember Josiah, when he had sent his workers or whatever, the priests and so forth, he had sent them into the temple, and they found the law. They found the law. They found the words of the Lord. They found the scriptures. And when he found them, you know, he ripped his clothes off because they hadn't been following it, because they didn't, you know. But once he found it, he, you know, gathered the people together, told them how they had to now, you know, repent for the Lord. He went around destroying all of the idolatrous stuff that was left there by his evil father, because his father was evil. But, you know, God promised him, because the people, you know, they, you know, I mean, they were evil, you know. But God promised Josiah that he wouldn't have to witness or go through what was about to happen because of his good heart. So Josiah was killed. And right after his death was when, you know, the captivity was beginning to happen. So God spared Josiah from this, all of this stuff here, by taking his life. So that's really something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And imagine, I mean, it's just like you, say you're in a setting where everybody is doing wrong except you. And you try to do good, but you're going down with everybody else. You know, it's just like, but not me. I didn't do anything, Lord. I'm trying to follow you. But sometimes, you know, you just, then, you know, you get caught up in stuff. But God saw it fit to take Josiah's life before, without him having to witness or go through all of this destruction that God was planning.
It is an interesting choice, right?
I think based on, well, what would you have preferred, Hilda, and then Barbara?
What would I prefer, that God take my life?
Whether if you were Josiah, would you want God to take your life before the destruction, or would you want to be witness the destruction or be a part of the destruction?
No. Definitely take my life before the destruction. I don't want to see what's going to happen.
Barbara, what would you want?
Take me.
That's a hard one, but I don't want to die early either. I mean, you know, God told him that he would spare him from that by allowing him to depart this earth earlier and not have to see
mm-hmm.
that. But, I mean, like mm-hmm. I said, that's something. You die or you see the destruction that's going to come forth.
Remember the leaders went first, right? The kings,
mm-hmm.
the priests. I mean, they got the worst of the torture
yep.
because, you know, God wanted them to feel what they did to the poor. This is how you treated the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So
what,
Babylon
what
is going to do what you did. Oh, definitely
mm-hmm.
take my life. Definitely take my life.
That's right.
Just don't let it hurt, Lord. Take it, but please don't let
exactly.
it hurt too much. Like, be right
it won't
away.
Hurt.
Oh,
trust
no.
me, God don't hurt. He would just take your breath away. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Just like you
yeah,
to
we speak. Don't know how it was done, Evangelist. We don't know. It didn't say how.
No, but I don't
no,
think
and I think
suffering.
He died, when you read it, he died in war. He died, I think he got killed in
war
with Egypt or something like that.
Yeah, I thought
yeah,
it was
still
in war.
Bloodshed for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was bloodshed, but.
But we don't understand. So, you know, like I said, for me, I think I would have liked to have stayed around a little bit longer and, you know, see what was going to transpire. But I guess it was really too harsh to bear. So he was trying to
yeah.
alleviate that suffering from him going through it to see it. So he allowed him to
right.
be godlike, I guess.
And even if you said, even because one of the thoughts that went to my mind was like, well, Lord, just put me in another nation. Just drop me off somewhere else.
Right? Can I go somewhere else for now?
Go somewhere else, Lord, but God destroyed all the surrounding nations, right? All the surrounding
right.
nations got destroyed. So it really wasn't mm-hmm. any place to go. Maybe
exactly.
Country, Judah was his. I mean, like, you would have had to fight the king in another country to come in. He sure couldn't reign as a king. He'd just be another, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Walking in the wilderness. Be like John the Baptist. Walking in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's a hard one for me. You don't understand God's
Right. Amen. Amen. He knows what's best. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me just finish up Judgment Day. Okay. So we know it's imminent. And by his grace, Yahweh appeals to his people to repent and humble themselves to avert the coming disaster before it was too late. Well, Zephaniah pronounces God's coming judgment upon the nations that surrounded Judah. He looked at all four directions. He looked in the west. Couldn't run there. He was Josiah. Couldn't run to the west, to Philistia.
There you go.
Couldn't run to the east, Moab and Ammon. Couldn't run there. Couldn't run to the south, which was Ethiopia. And Assyria was in the north. Nowhere to go.
Nowhere.
Then he focused on Jerusalem, the center of God's dealings.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem is characterized by spiritual rebellion and moral treachery. Treachery.
Mm-hmm.
She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not joined near to God. And, you know, in Jerusalem was the temple, and in the temple they were doing worship. They had idols all built up in the temple.
Mm-hmm. The priests, yeah.
And the priests, I mean, that's like me putting some idol statue in somebody's church and going to the church and worshiping these idols in a church. I mean, how corrupt can you be? Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we're going to end there, and then I'll do,
salvation.
Yeah, salvation. I can do salvation. Yeah, I got like 2 minutes. Okay, mm-hmm. So the salvation in the day of the Lord, which is all through chapter 3, basically,
mm-hmm.
after a broad statement of the judgment of all nations, Zephaniah changes the tone of the remainder of his book to blessings. For this, too, is an aspect of the day of the Lord. The nations will be cleansed and will call on the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will be regathered, redeemed, and restored.
Mm-hmm.
They will rejoice in their Redeemer, and he will be in their midst. Zephaniah opens with idolatry, wrath, and judgment, but closes with true worship, rejoicing, and blessing. And that
Amen.
Zephaniah. And so next week we'll go right on to Haggai. Mm-hmm. We have Haggai for next week. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Eight o'clock
on the dot.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Sister Hilda, can you close us out, please?
Amen. Lord God, once again, we come to you as humble as we know how to give you the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for this lesson this evening. We thank you for all that was said. We thank you for clarification. We thank you for just opening up our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts, Lord God, to perceive what thus says the Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you for waking us up this morning. You didn't have to, but we are so thankful that you did, Lord God. We glorify you. We love you, Lord God. We ask that you bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. Turn this trust in each and every one of us, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, to let your will be done, not our will, Lord God, but your will be done in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for all the blessings. We thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you have done, Lord God.
There's so much
that we can thank you for. But right now, Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to come to almost to the ending of this year and going into the beginning of a new year, Lord God. We ask that you be with us, guide us into this new year, and let your will continue to be done in our lives. Bless each and every one here tonight. Bless their homes, bless their family, bless their children, Lord God, bless their finances. And we pray that the new year coming in will be a whole lot better than the old one, Lord God. So we leave all old baggage into the old year and go into the new year, a new creature in Christ. We thank you, we praise you, and Lord God, we love you. And thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. God be the glory.
Amen. God be the glory. I had a almost thing. I had went to, you know, I went back to work, right, Monday.
Monday
I decided that I'm not going to go see patients. But I was going to go to the office to pick up my paperwork so I can clarify, you know, I have paperwork that I got to finish writing. But I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit told me, don't go. Don't go in that office. So I had my clothes and everything laid out. I was on my way. Got up early. I was going to get on the express bus and go to the office. But like I said, it was just like the Holy Spirit told me don't go. So I emailed my boss. I told her, I said, look, I don't feel comfortable, you know, doing face-to-face visits. So I'm not going to do any more visits. And my paperwork is in the office. So I don't know how I'm going to get that because I'm not coming to the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she emails me back, and she's like, oh, Nadine, you know, don't worry. We can do the visits on FaceTime. You can do your visits on FaceTime. I said, thank you, Jesus. And then she said, you know, I'll scan you all your paperwork to your house. I'm like, great. That's perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So later on, that was Monday, we had a Zoom meeting. The office manager and about three other people were in the office that day. The next day, Tuesday, the office manager had tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
I was like, thank you, Lord, because everybody that's in the office got to get tested now because she was all through the office and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they have to sanitize the whole office before anybody go back there. But I was like, thank you, God, that I didn't go in there Monday with her. And she, this thing is serious. This thing
got
is spreading
it.
Like wildfire.
Yes, it is.
It is so much more contagious than anything else that we've had. It's just, and I'm,
thank
you know,
God.
I'm going, you know, I'm
the
exactly.
Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm just like, I told Mother, too. I said, let me tell you something, Mother, because, you know, she's refusing to get vaccinated. Anybody who comes into your house, your home attendant, you have to put a mask on. You are all people need to wear a mask when you're in contact with anybody.
That's right.
You're so vulnerable to get COVID. You know, these people, your aides are coming. She lives in Brooklyn. People are coming in and out of that apartment. You know, you have to make sure you wear a mask whenever somebody comes here.
Right.
And she said, okay. She said, okay.
She said, okay.
She'll probably put the mask on. I think she'll put the mask on, but she ain't hearing nothing about no getting vaccine. And I said, I told her it was okay when you were living alone in your apartment, but now you're in a community of people.
Right.
Anyway, just pray for her.
And I spoke with her the other day. We had a long talk.
Oh, good.
At, Monday, I believe it was, I talked with her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Long talk,
oh,
nice
good.
Talk. But she
good,
needs to get
good.
She want to get vaccinated. She should get, because she's got people coming in and out, and they live, you know, she's in a community now.
Exactly. But she still, no. Mm-mm. She's still really refusing. I'm taking her next week to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing she said. She says, I hope they don't try to vaccinate me. I said, well, first of all, you should be vaccinated. But second of all, nobody can force you to get vaccinated. They can't force you to get vaccinated, Mother. It's totally voluntary. Right now it is. And, you know, but I was surprised that that facility didn't mandate vaccinated, but the facility doesn't mandate it. So,
keep
up in your prayer.
Yep.
Yeah,
keep up in praying. Your prayer.
Oh, you might change
Let the Holy Spirit reveal something to her about about
so how's your office manager?
Very sick. Very sick. Mm. She's home, though. She hasn't gone into the hospital, but she's, you know, coughing, sneezing, having some sore throat, having some weakness, having some difficulty, you know, not so much breathing, but she says she's very weak and tired. And because she's not that, I mean, she has other comorbidities, too. You know, she has hypertension and, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah.
She doesn't know where. And that's the other thing. These people, when you ask them, well, how do you think you got it? They don't know.
Can't tell.
They don't know. They can't tell. They don't know.
Don't know where or when. You know, how long. Don't know.
Yeah.
God is good.
Anyway.
All the time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right, guys, I'm going to cook a late-night dinner because I didn't cook earlier because I've been trying to do this exam. But have a blessed.
I've got to go
and
what I can find in
Barbara,
there to cook.
Is your church doing anything you doing anything online for New Year's Eve night?
Yes, they are. I don't know if I had shared with you all that I had not been going to my Sunday school and service with COVID. So my
That's
pastor
right.
was very not too liking it that I wasn't coming and others weren't coming. Oh, where's your faith and all of that? So they were planning on having a watch night service, but I got the word today. It will be on Zoom. So apparently something.
Oh, good.
So we'll be
Somebody
doing it.
Yeah,
you're doing something at 10:30, right?
Yeah, convent on YouTube.
On YouTube, okay.
Okay.
I could be on Zoom. But thank you anyway.
All right,
but I'm planning to go out anyway. I'm not trying to mingle with anybody right now. Did you ever get your popcorn?
Of course, I killed that popcorn. Been done and gone.
I just got mine. I think it was yesterday.
You just got yours yesterday?
Yours? 2 days before. Yeah, I got mine like the 27th.
Oh no, I got mine early. And let me tell you something. I was surprised that I got mine so early. Because every other time I bought popcorn from people who've had these fundraisers, and it takes weeks, sometimes months, to get the freaking. So they're doing a lot better. At least they try to do a lot better with the delivery. But, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
But you got yours.
Yo, Nadine, what happened to the stuff that I ordered?
What stuff?
Oh, my gosh. From the magazine that you had when we was in rehearsal?
Shall I never put, listen, I gave that magazine to, I got to call Samoy. I gave the magazine to Samoy, my, oh my God. I have to call my director. And she went away to Jamaica, and she never brought the book back.
I was looking forward to my
You're going to get it. I would just get the book from her. She better bring me that book. I forgot all about that book.
Wow.
I was like, wait a minute. I was hoping I was going to have all my stuff by Christmas.
Wow.
Right, because were they Christmas things or any time of
no,
year?
No, they were just biblical stuff.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'll get the book from her. I'm going to text her right now. Where's my book? She ordered a lot of stuff since she kept the book so long.
Oh. I hope so.
Well, thank you, ladies, for ordering again the popcorn.
Okay.
Appreciate you so much.
Oh, no problem.
No problem.
It won't be for the new year, I don't think, right?
What?
It won't be before Sunday. Me, anyway.
No.
So have a blessed and beautiful, prosperous, and safe new year, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. And we won't be on Saturday. Friday and Saturday,
Nadine.
We won't be on.
Right. Nadine.
Yes.
No more calling. You
yes, what happened?
No more calling.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you so much. I have to get to a chiropractor, though. So my back is killing me.
Oh, no. I hope no damage.
Take your time, and you got to do something else. Come on. All right? Just be careful, all right?
I will. Thank you, Sister Barbara. All right, guys.
Love you all. Happy New Year, everybody. Speak to you before.
Happy New Year!
Bye bye. We're like little children. Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Okay. Shalom.
You too.
Shalom. No music. I'm closing out.
Okay, cool. Bye bye.
Bye.